Gigi recovered from his surgery okay, but he's down and he's kind of a relapse and not doing real well. So we need to be in prayer for Gigi and James. And anything else we need? Yes, sir.
For my in-laws, the ones that always have problems.
Yeah.
My wife has a sister with a collapsed lung.
That's just the one that always has something wrong.
Yes.
Her broken this, broken that. Brand.
Exactly.
She ain't got too much more to break.
Now the husband.
Oh.
The wife, she goes to the church, and I don't know, I'm assuming she's a believer, but it's hard to tell sometimes in Greek Orthodox.
Yeah, it is.
But this her husband, he never cracked a Bible. He didn't go to church. And recently he got sick, and he comes home from work, grabs the Bible, goes in the bedroom, closes the door for an hour. He'll go to church with his wife now.
Wow.
My prayer is that Holy Spirit will...
Let's be in prayer. What's his first name?
Nick.
Nick, let's be in prayer for Nick. Holy Spirit is wrestling with him. Good.
Yeah, very good. Came here?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't think he's been outside of Greece.
Okay.
Nick, that was...
tall, younger man.
Krista.
Yes, Krista.
Yeah.
If there's any advancement in the report, let us know. Well, I'm definitely going to be in prayer for Nick. Wow.
And the lady next door with breast cancer... she's doing okay. She's got her wigs stuff, but she's got up days and down days. It's I've never been there with chemotherapy and losing hair and all that. But she's just, like I say, some days she has troubles. And my wife drives around different places, and they're very grateful. And I don't know if she's a believer or not. They have been to a variety of churches. I know they went to a Bible church that I used to go to a long time ago. She went to different schools, one of which was an evangelical school when she was younger. But she went to Catholic school and Greek Orthodox school. So,
I'm going to pull a fast one on you, kid. I'm going to pray that you and her will be talking and Holy Spirit's going to lead you and just lay it out there. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? And just hit it straight forward. Go for the jugular. And speaking of the chemotherapy, John was just telling about his brother. And he had therapy, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's had about a year of it now.
And he's doing?
And doing well. He's getting some results from CAT scans that is killing some of it off in his body. So, he's doing all that.
Good.
He's
very
stable,
good.
Stable and doing good.
We'll continue being in prayer. Yes, sir.
Well,
now I don't know if we have a mother-in-law prayer or not, but we'll see.
That's for me. No, my mom. Her husband that she married in August of last year, he's got cancer now, colon, and they think maybe in the lungs, too.
Oh, wow.
So, be in prayer for him and her.
Where do they live?
In Quinlan, right in the Quinlan area.
Okay.
But he's a believer.
All right.
And he's gone to church, he's Baptist, you know.
What's his first name?
Cecil.
Huh?
Cecil.
Okay. Be in prayer for Cecil. That's very good.
Put him on the list.
All right. Absolutely. Any other? Yes, sir.
Yes. Tomorrow, Friday, Anel's going to have a series of tests. So tomorrow will be
Anel's going to have what?
Series of tests. Tomorrow will be an echocardiogram and a resting health. That's a resting stress test. And then Friday, she's having a stress test, probably a treadmill test.
What's the problem?
Well, she has a cardiologist, and they're getting things checked.
Okay.
Just be in prayer for that.
Absolutely.
Stress test on Friday.
Okay, so I got one tomorrow and one Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow's echocardiogram and a resting, stress test. Friday's the sprint.
Okay, just be in prayer. Absolutely. Okay. If you don't mind, I'll try to call you Friday night and just see how everything went. And speaking of that, somebody asked, I will be gone this Sunday, but I'll be back next Wednesday night. We're just going to miss Sunday. And like I said, Sunday morning, I request your prayers to give the gospel clearly. And a lot of military personnel there, I understand. And it's that the Holy Spirit will use me to speak what he would knows needs to be said in the way it needs to be said. And so just be with me. Open my mouth to speak boldly. Judith and I was talking to her today about my marriage ceremony, and she says, cut it, cut it. And I said, hey, it's going to take me all day to drive there and all day drive back. I need to give them my money's worth. So I'll have to decide what to do, what the Holy Spirit needs to do. And so I request your prayers in that respect. Okay, anything else? All right. Thank you. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Where we're going is from Plano to Laredo. And the internet says about 7.5 hours. And so we'll just see. Your daughter? Daughter-in-law. Now, her daughter-in-law is pregnant and is bed. She can't move around. Wow. I've heard of that, yeah.
I think she'll be all right. Because she's had this before. She's got 2 kids already. But, I mean, you never know, so prayers would be...
Well, I'd like to go into a discussion on it, but this isn't the place. I guess we'll let it go, but we'll be in prayer. Thank you very much. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Get ready for a study tonight in the Word of God. And as I told you last week, I was working on the Jesus Christ, don't cling to me. I have not ascended into heaven. And so I was just sitting there at my desk working. I thought, okay, why did he come? There's 2 things. He came and he's going to go back. So why did he come? Why is he going to go back? Well, before I get to why he's going to go back, I decided on why he came. And it's just so interesting. I've been in the ministry for 43 years, and churches, seminary, and all this stuff, I've never seen anything like this. And the Holy Spirit just, I sat down, and all of a sudden, what we got? 30-something reasons why he came. And so let's go into prayer and then take a look. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that you sent your Son. We praise you that he was obedient to you and he came. He died for us and rose again that we might live with you for all eternity. That is just overwhelming, Heavenly Father. That he came, that we might come to you. So, Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, let's quickly go through. We did some of this last week, but James got to work and put this together, and I've already seen a couple of things that we'll note tonight that I want to change, so next week you'll probably get a whole new set, but let's go through it. He came, I like the way James did this, 3 aspects of his coming. He came in reference to God the Father. He came in reference to Satan. And he came in reference to mankind. And I was thinking about it, what about the angels? But I'm not quite ready to put that here and have another 10 pages. And but right now, he came to the Father. He came in regard to Satan. And he came in regard to mankind. Now, last week we noted Jesus Christ himself spoke of the reasons for which he did not come. And we went through those. He did not come to call the righteous. Of course, there are none but he did not come to call the righteous, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion, not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who are in need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, what you see right here, without it being said, the great issue is righteousness. If you have the righteousness, you don't need to be have him come. And that's going to be part of what he's going to do for us to bring us into salvation, is the righteousness. And one more passage, Luke passage. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out and were, well, I don't know what that is, so I'll have to find out what, let me put the check mark there. What is that? Okay. Now, point two. He did not come to redeem or to judge the, or to condemn or judge the world. He did not come to condemn or judge the world. Now, let me just click that. When he comes again, it's going to be to judge. And it's going to be powerful. But in his first advent, he did not come to condemn or to judge. John 3, for God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But right now we're looking at the negatives. We'll have to come back to some of these that have positive things. Yes.
I think he quoted maybe 5:17, because 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Okay, so 5:32, but he put in 17.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Or all right. Some other, well, maybe it wasn't 17, maybe it was something else. But.
Okay, good. All right, 2, he did not come to condemn or to judge the world. And then in the John 12 passage, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I did not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And it's so interesting. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, you're not here to condemn people. We're here to give them the straight scoop and then let God deal with them. Point 3, he did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. Matthew, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. 4, he did not come to serve, to be served or waited upon. And that's rather interesting. We, if as our Savior, we want to wait on him. We want to serve him, but that's not why he came. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And again, I'll just throw this in. We've already noted, if your husband wants to know how to treat a wife, wife how to treat a husband, it's how Christ treats the church. He serves. And that's what a husband ought to do. Point 5. He did not come of his own will or desire. And again, this is very interesting. Then Jesus cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, you both know me and know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I did not come of myself. I didn't come of my own accord. I didn't make up my mind in heaven, well, I'm going to go down to earth and take care of things. God did it. And then 6, he did not come to do his own will. Very close to the previous one, but just a little different. He did not come to do his own will. He did not come out of his own will. He did not come to do his own will. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So he came down from heaven, and at his ascension, he will return to heaven. People, we were not born from here. We were born in our second birth from above, and that's where we'll return. Our citizenship is in heaven. So, we have 6 reasons as to why he did not come from heaven. So let's take a look now at the positive reasons why Jesus Christ did come from heaven to earth in the likeness of man. All right. I would like to assert right here why. Why did God the Father send His Son Jesus Christ into the world? Why Jesus Christ came to the earth in reference to the Father? One, so this starts the listing now. This starts our numbering system. I thought about, we got God the Father, Satan, and man. I thought about doing points under the Father, points under Satan, points under man. But I said, no, I'm just going to keep on numbering them so we'll have a good number of how many reasons we can find why Christ came into the world. Okay, point one. First and foremost, it was God the Father's will and desire that His Son, Jesus Christ, come to earth. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come of my own initiative, but He sent me. And I hope one thing that we together, when it helped me when I was going through all of this, is it really solidified an attitude of relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. That He wants to go home to the Father is unbelievable. And it starts to make real good sense at this point. He's up there with the Father. He comes because of the Father. He wants to go back to the Father. And that's what happens to us. After a while, we want to go home. Be with God the Father. Okay, I think one of the reasons so many try to put Jesus Christ over God the Father, why they would prefer to pray to Jesus Christ than to God the Father, is that they do not fully understand why Jesus Christ came in the first place. Here we see clearly, in His own words, that God the Father sent Jesus Christ, and that, dear people, is why He is here, why He came. This is also teaches us why He is so intent on returning to the Father at the ascension of Jesus Christ after His work is done. All right, we come to point two. Because of His own perfect righteousness, God the Father's, and man's unrighteousness, there can be no relationship between the Father and man. But, so He could have a relationship with man is why He sent His Son. That's what's going on here. This is why He sent His Son. Alright? Romans 3, 25 and 26. Whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His, God the Father's, righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed. All the sins from Adam up until the cross. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time. So that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So, this tells us why God sent Him. God's righteous. We're unrighteous. And He wanted that to be very clear to mankind. Point three, because of His love. Point two, because of His righteousness. Point three, because of His love. For in this manner, God so loved the world. In what manner? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is why it's out of His love that He sent Him. Also, 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's powerful. We understand why God the Father sent His Son. And four, because of His grace. I hope you see what's going on. Because of His righteousness, because of His love, and now because of His grace. Hebrews 2:9. But we do not see Him who was made for a little while lower. But we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels. Namely, Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So God sent him out of his grace. Fifth reason. God the Father sent his Son into the world to redeem us from the curse of the law. Now, this is not under man yet. This is under God and Jesus Christ. Look at the verse, Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law. And now we cover that, so that. So that. So let's just read this. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Okay? Also, 2 Corinthians, the law kills. Ephesians chapter 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jew and Gentile, into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Ephesians 2, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups, in Jew and Gentile, into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And then Colossians 2:14, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, that's the Mosaic Law, which was hostile to us. See, the Mosaic Law kills. Every time you and I do something, the Mosaic Law says, guilty, guilty. I didn't do anything. You thought it. Wow, guilty, guilty, guilty. This is what the Mosaic Law does. This is why Satan is the biggest proponent of the Mosaic Law. He demands the Mosaic Law. He demands it. And this is one thing that John MacArthur in California doesn't understand with his Lordship Salvation. He wants everybody to be perfect. He doesn't understand. He is doing what Satan does. He likes to point out sins of Christians. Well, you can't be a Christian if you did that. That sounds like what Satan would do. What he wants to do, keep the law going. So, the Colossians 2:14, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, hostile to us, how did he cancel it out? And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So, he took the law and got rid of it. Sixth reason Christ came, in reference to God the Father, God sent his Son into the world that he might bless us. I love this. That he might bless us. God wants to bless us. For you, first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you. He sent him, his Son, into the world to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Okay? Now, I was reading this, and this bold rectangle that he has, why Jesus Christ came in reference to mankind, should not be at this point. So, it should not be here. We have point seven. One that we have already seen, but under a different section, God the Father did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but he sent his Son that the world might be saved through him. Look at verse 17, which you'll see why this is not about mankind yet. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So God the Father sent him not to judge, but that he might save. Now, starting with the eighth point, we have Satan involved. why Jesus Christ came to earth in reference to Satan. And I could only find two verses, but it'll make its point. 1:8. We have seen that Jesus Christ came into the world in reference to God the Father, but Jesus Christ also came into the world in reference to Satan. 1 John 3:8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of Man appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. So he came in reference to Satan. Now, also Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, this is members of the human race, he himself, Jesus Christ, likewise also partook of flesh and blood, that through death he might render powerless him who had power of death, that is, the devil. So Christ came in reference to Satan, the arch enemy. All right, let's go to point 9 now. This clearly states that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to judge the world, but he did come for judgment. That is, to be judged in place of the world for sins. And Jesus said, for judgment, I came into the world, so that those who do not see may see, then those that may see may become blind. Now, what is he talking about here? Well, we already studied, he did not come to judge, right? So, but here he says, for judgment I came. His judgment. He will take the judgment. Not to judge, but to take the judgment. For judgment I came into the world. For judgment of myself, I came into the world. Okay, point 10. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for the world. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So he came in reference to man and man's sins. In fact, right in here is where we need to put in the rectangle that it was for man. And we'll get all these little things straightened out and get this going really good. All right. And I'll tell you, just to share with you right at this point, I'm also battling, since I'm going to redoing it, we're going to have to redo some of it anyway. I hope you understand, you're not saved as a sinner. All sins were taken care of on the cross. We are saved by the imputation of righteousness. We are unrighteous. The unrighteous are saved. And so he is going to, and it will come out as we go through it. I think I'm going to try to separate these things. But he came to take care of the sin problem. That has to be taken care of. But that's only half of the problem. That's the negative of the gospel. What about the positive of the gospel? The positive of the gospel is the imputation of righteousness. So we have two aspects of why Christ came. Yes, he came to take care of the negative, the sin problem. But he also came to take care of the imputation of righteousness. So we'll be taking a look at these things. Point 10. God sent him to be the propitiation for the world. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The 11th reason why Christ came. Jesus Christ came into the world to fulfill Scripture. This should be right under the title with God the Father, not with mankind. Okay? When the men, Luke 7, when the men came to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the expected one? Okay, he's expected. Or do we look for someone else? John 6:14, Therefore, when the people saw the signs which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who is come into the world. So he was already known by the Jews that he would come into the world and fulfill prophecy. And those are the things that are talked about in those two verses. Okay, in fact, we got another one. John 18. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you're a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born. And for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So it is the truth of the prophecy of his coming, and it was prophesied, he came to fulfill it. Also Mark 1. He came to proclaim that he has come in fulfillment of Scripture. He said to them, let us go somewhere else to the town. This is the beginning of his ministry, Mark 1:38. Let us go into the towns nearby, so that I may preach, or actually proclaim, there also. For that is what I came for. I came to proclaim the truth. And that's what I want to do. So this is what he's done. Alright? And by the way, as we go through these, help me. If you got questions, comments, let's have them. Let's go through them. Okay, the 12th reason why Christ came into the world. He came to fulfill all the promises God had made about the one he would send. Matthew 11, 2 through 6. Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? And we just read that. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. And then to Luke 4, and the book of the prophet Isaiah, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. The book of the prophet Isaiah, he's in a synagogue, they just hand him Isaiah, and he opened the book, and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives of sin and of the law, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You just had the fulfilling of it with me reading it to you. Okay? 113. 13th reason. God promised a Messiah for the race of the Jews, and he came to fulfill this promise. John 1:11. He came to his own Jews, not Gentiles, Jews. And those who were his own did not receive him. And in Romans 15, for I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, Jews, on behalf of the truth of God, there it is, on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promise given to the fathers. Alright, the 14th reason why Christ came into the world. Christ came into the world to glorify God the Father. Romans 15:9. And all the Gentiles, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore, I will give praise. I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. John chapter 12. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this hour that I came. I came for this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice out of heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it and will glorify it again. Death, resurrection, and session of Jesus Christ. The session is when he'll be seated at the right hand of God the Father in the angelic conflict. John 17:4, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do. I hope you're beginning to get perhaps an added understanding of why Jesus Christ desired to go back and be with the Father at his ascension. Why it is so vital and important to him to go back to be with the Father. 1:15. Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. 16. And the pinnacle of all that he came to fulfill, the scripture that showed that the Messiah had to suffer and then rise from the dead. Isaiah 53:10. But the Lord, this is God the Father, was pleased to crush him, spiritual death, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering in place of mankind. He will see his offspring, this is the resurrection. He will prolong his days, this is eternity future. And the good pleasure of the Lord, of God the Father, will prosper in his hand for all eternity. Acts chapter 8, 30-35. Philip ran up, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how could I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. I got to share a humorous point with you. We were in New York City. And John Hintz and I were, some other people, and we were walking down a busy street right there in New York City, and there was a lady holding a Bible in her arms. And John goes up and he said, I need to interrupt you for a moment, ma'am. You read that book, and you're going to learn about Jesus Christ, and you're going to learn how you can go to heaven, and you're going to learn how you can escape sin. You're going to learn a lot of stuff. If you keep reading that book, you want to be careful if you read that book. And she smiled, and black lady, she smiled. She said, I already have, I already know him. And so we just said, well, that's great. But this is a beautiful story where he comes up and says, do you know what you're reading? Well, how can I unless somebody teaches me? Verse 32. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate to his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. That's so beautiful. The whole witnessing Sarah, there's another thing that went on there. Okay, Acts 17:3. Explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, that is, the Messiah. Point 17, he came to reveal God the Father to us. God the Father is invisible, Colossians 1:15. So, how are we to know God the Father? For this Jesus Christ came into the world. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. In other words, the law that reveals sin was given by Moses. The solution to that, grace and truth, realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He, Jesus Christ, has explained Him. 1:18. He came to speak the words of God the Father. For He whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For He gives the Spirit without measure. So Jesus answered them and said, My teaching is not mine, but His who sent me. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from Him, these I speak to the world. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear, they're not mine, but the Father who sent me. So point 18, he speaks the words of God the Father who sent him. Now point 19. We've seen it came in reference to the earth, reference to God the Father, also came in reference to Satan. We've already covered that, so we don't need to read. Yes.
Maybe it's kind of a question too. Do you think that if you don't understand the conflict between God and Satan, could you really maybe not understand this? And we have a... Because the whole conflict is between God and why Jesus came. Is the conflict... But if we don't understand the prehistoric conflict, would it be difficult for someone to understand this?
Well, if we're reading a text on it or something, like going to these verses, they probably wouldn't. But they slowly grab more and build more.
All my life, growing up.
Yeah, growing up.
I remember what you
meant.
Yeah.
That it was,
she grew. That this was our Father's world. It's wonderful. It's not. It's Satan's world.
Satan's world.
And so if people grow up and think, oh, this is our Father's world, and they see that and then realize, no, it's Satan's world. God sent His Son to dissolve that conflict between God and Satan to save us. But I'm just wondering, the average person, I don't think, would understand if they don't know about the spiritual conflict.
Well, good. You just added a couple of pages, so that's really good. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Let's see now. So 19 is not really 19 because we've already had it, but let's just move on with that idea. Now let's know why Jesus Christ came into the world as it relates to the human race. Okay. 20. Now we've gone through 19 points, and now we finally come to the human race. We talked about God the Father and about Satan in one point. All that to deal in between Christ coming, His relationship with the Father. Now we're going to come to His relationship with the earth, and in effect, God's relationship with the earth. Point 20. Christ came to save sinners, but go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, just so you know what's going on here, they thought by offering those sacrifices, they're legalists. Legalists think that they're so wonderful because of what they do. Because they offer the sacrifices, because they don't do this and they don't do that, and they do this and do that. And so they think that they're very righteous. So he says, I desire compassion, not sacrifice, not your legalism, but your heart. Okay, Mark 2:17. And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners, the unrighteous." The unrighteous. Luke 5:32. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners, unrighteous, to repentance." John 3:17. "For God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." And that would be imputation of righteousness. John 12. "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge, but to save the world." So we had the "I do not" before, but we're taking some of the same verses again. Here we're looking at it from the positive standpoint. He did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. 1 Timothy 1:15. "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." So Christ came into the world, the main phrase, came into the world to save sinners. The 21st reason, "He came to give His life for all sinners. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." That's what it was going to cost to save the world. "He came to save the lost." 22. "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." John 12. "I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them," what is that? The gospel. "Believe on me as Savior." That's what he's talking about. The gospel. "I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." 23. "He came..." I had a phenomenal several days. Verses here, verses there. That's not going to work. This is going to work. It was a wonderful journey. Treasure hunt. And going through, looking for all the verses that would work. Okay, the 23rd reason. "He came bearing judgment for sins, even of all who did not believe in Him." 1 John 2:2. "And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for those of the whole world." So He took care of the sin problem for everyone. Point 24. 24th reason why Christ came. "He came to taste death for everyone. But we do see Him who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone." Therefore, we do not have to face death. 25, the 25th reason. "He came to bring joy in heaven over one who believes." Now, if I were doing the angels, I'd put this with the angels. Begins the story of the prodigal son in this chapter. But let us just read the attitude of the father when he sees the son returning. So this is the prodigal son story, but I didn't want to just go through everything, but let's take a look. So, he got up, this is the prodigal son, and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. People, this is powerful. The father did not go seek him out. The father did not go bail him out. But he was eating the slop. The father didn't go and say, let me give you some good food. The father stayed put. But when the son came, the father was ready not only to see him, but embrace him and kiss him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. He hadn't even taken a shower yet. And bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. Now, there's so much here. We're studying, he came to bring joy in heaven over one who believes. I want to put something in your thought. The prodigal son is a picture of Jesus Christ being identified with our sins. And when he starts his ascension into heaven, the Father is going to greet him in heaven. And I believe this. If you don't, that's fine. But that's what I believe is going on here. That this is the ghost of the ascension of Christ. The Father will see him coming, and they will be greeted him. So, this is what I see going on with the prodigal son story. Luke 15. So he got up and came to his father. But while it was still a long way away, let me see if I had a reason for putting this in. His father saw him and felt compassion on him and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven. In your sight, I am not worthy, longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the slaves, quickly bring out the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And being the fatted calf, kill it. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Bring us a servant. For the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. I think what James, I said, also the Luke passage. And so he printed it up for us. And that doesn't need to be. Okay. 26th reason. He came to be the Savior of the world. Jew and Gentile. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 27th reason, he came to make everyone holy. Okay, here we go with the imputation of righteousness. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only way a member of the human race can be holy. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, make them holy, through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So the only way we can be holy is to have the imputation of righteousness. So he takes care of the sin problem, but there's also this problem of our righteousness. We're unrighteous. Even if we don't have the sin problem, we're still not saved. I hope you understand that. The absence of sin doesn't make us right before God. God is righteous. We are unrighteous. We have to be righteous, holy. So this becomes a powerful passage in that respect. All right, 28. Yes.
That holiness.
Yes.
Righteous. Yes. And justified.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Now, 28. But please be ever aware of the fact that Jesus Christ came to divide the human race. This is powerful and this hurts. Do not think that I came to earth to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace on the earth. Peace between you and the Father? Yes. That's the peace that he brought between us and the Father. But as far as peace on earth, that's not why he came. Do not think in that, in the second trip back to earth, peace. But not the first one. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What's the sword? The word of God, the gospel. The gospel is the sword. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. All right? For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Mother-in-law. There we go. All right? And see, I had a mother-in-law just for a very short time, and she was an angel. She was just a doll. It was just wonderful. I didn't have to go through the 20s and 30s and 40s with a mother-in-law. So I can have a little fun with it. All right. Verse 35. For I set a man against his father, daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Do you have the courage to love Christ? It's a very important question. And he who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Luke, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace on the earth? I tell you, no. Brother Division, far from now on, five members of one household will be divided. Three against two. Two against three. In other words, whichever the case will be, two will believe, three will not. Three will believe, and two will not. It's going to divide them. For verse 53, they will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. People, this is why he came. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. This introduces the principle. Do you have the courage to love Jesus Christ? This truth may be upsetting to some, but it can be a great encouragement for many, especially Jew or Muslims who come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You comfort one another with these words. This will be comforting to them. Sometime when a Jew believes that this Jesus is the Messiah, his picture is taken out of the family albums. He has taken out, of course, the will. There is no record of him. You're not my son. You're not my daughter. Never were. You do not exist. And this would be comforting to that kind of a person. You sit down and show them these things. To some of us, we read and go, oh, that's really bad. But to those that this might have happened to, you go, well, okay. It's meant to be. This is going to happen. And I prefer to be with Christ than to be with my earthly family. So it becomes really powerful. Okay, we'll resume at 4:29 next Wednesday night. And if you have any questions or statements or comments, please let me know. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow! Thank you, Father. Thank you for sending your Son. Take care of our sins and make us righteous. We could do neither. We cannot take care of our sins. And no matter how good we may try to be, we can't make ourselves righteous. You sent your Son to do this. You came and did it. Praise you, Father. Praise your Son. In His precious name we pray.